that was unwilling to succumb to the pressures of men. And thank God for our heritage. Thank God most of all for salvation, for grace, for Jesus Christ that loved us and gave Himself, and that's soon to return again. Praise the Lord. I want to continue the thought that we took this morning on nearing the end and what to do here in 1 Peter. We took the thought from verse 7, said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As ever man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, He may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Lord, we thank You again for the opportunity we've had to be here this evening, and that we have. Lord, I pray that You'd help us for just a little while. Lord, You know what we stand in need of. I pray that You stir our hearts around the Word of God. Lord, I pray for that when it may be here lost. Lord, that don't know You as their Savior, this might be the night, Lord, that they'll come to trust You in a free pardon of sin. Maybe someone watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that You'd take and use the Word of God to prick hearts tonight, Lord, to encourage Your people. We love You. We thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. We don't look at nearing the end and what to do. As we begin this morning considering the Ten Commandments to keep us alert and serving till the Lord return, and we made some comments about we believe that we're living in the day and hour that Jesus could come back. If we're saved, I believe that we're living in exciting times this evening. I believe we're living at the threshold of the coming of Christ. If He don't come tonight, He may come tomorrow. If He don't come tomorrow, He may come next week. If He don't come next week, it may be next month or next year. It may be 10 years or 20 years. No man knoweth the day nor the hour, not the angels. The Bible says not even the Son. Only God knows when He'll return. But I believe that we're nearing that end. And we looked at some thoughts this morning, and we considered the first five, and we won't dwell on them this evening, and we'll get right into the message this evening. But we looked at we are to be sober. We're to be sober-minded in this day and hour. If we're going to make it and if we're going to please God in this time that we're living in, we're going to have to be of a sound mind. We're going to have the heart of God at the focus of our lives. I believe we're going to have that sound mind. We're going to have to be sober. Then we mentioned we're to be watchful unto prayer. If there's ever been a time God's people need to pray, it's the day and hour that we live in. As we look around and things are a mess, people are embracing thoughts and philosophies that people used to wouldn't even thought about embracing. We're seeing things take place in our nation that was beyond even thinking about. I thought about just a little simple thing back years ago when I was a boy. You see Dick Tracy in the comic strips, and they had these little things that they would talk through, you know. Joe Jitsu calling Dick Tracy. And we thought, boy, that was something else. Some of the technology that they were using. Hey, we've got it today. We've got it. And it's hard to be sober-minded and to pray and to seek God the way we should with all the things that's going on and the things that's happening. We're to be watchful unto prayer. We're to be loving. I tell you what, you get looking around, it can callous your love for things and people if you're not careful. It bothers me when I see children living and treating moms and dads the way they do. It bothers me when I see grandmothers and granddaddies that ought to be living their latter days in a little bit more comfort and a little more ease, and they're having to raise their grandchildren. Now, I'm talking about those that won't raise their children. I'm not talking about someone that's left their children. To thank God for grandparents that take their children, their children's children, and raise them when they don't have a parent. We're to be sincere in hospitality. We mentioned that. We ought to have a spirit of hospitality in our lives. To look after people, to be hospitable to them, to do what we can. And then we ought to be ministering. If you're saved this evening, you ought to be involved in ministry tonight. I've got my notes mixed up here. We ought to be ministry. If you're saved, you ought to be involved in service for God. I'm fixing to get them mixed up again. You bear with me. So now tonight we want to look at five more, and we won't dwell on them probably to the length that we did this morning. Number one, there in verse 11, we need to be sound in speech. We need to be sound in speech. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hey, we need preachers and teachers today who are careful to proclaim God's Word rightly. In this day and hour that we see across this land, we find teachings of the Word of God that people will take isolated verses and they'll build doctrines out of them. Hey, that God never intended to be taught from the Word. You can take any kind of Scripture and build a doctrine out of it. Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. There's a right way to divide this Word. You can't take isolated passages and build doctrine. Some of the epistles, you can't take the Gospels and build some doctrines out of them. When Jesus walked here on earth, you can find the doctrines of the Word of God. You can take the book of Acts and you can find the doctrines for the church in the book of Acts. But we don't build doctrine out of the book of Acts. We see it's a transitional book from the age of Judaism into the age of grace. As the Holy Spirit is working and moving in the church, they didn't have the full canon of Scripture, and God was authenticating the message of the gospel of the grace of God, and He was using those apostles to spread the gospel during that time. There was things going on. And we're to rightly divide the Word of truth. I was reading Matthew Henry this afternoon and on 1 Peter chapter 4 here, and he said the duty of Christian to speak the Word of God and to speak sound words, the duty of Christians to do it in private as well as ministers in the public, to speak to one another of the things of God. We're to be sound in speech. It matters what we talk about. We ought to use the knowledge of the Word of God that we have when we go out, and we ought to, all of us ought to be ministering the Scriptures to people we come into contact with on a daily basis, where we work and those that we meet out in the world. But not only are we to be sound in speech, but also we're to be praising and glorifying God. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hey, the Lord this evening, He praise that we, His people, and we should glorify His name in everything that we do. We've come here this evening to worship, and we ought to glorify God in everything that we do. We ought not sing songs to uplift us, but we ought to sing the songs and praise God to uplift the name of Jesus, to glorify God in everything. Psalms 115 and verse 1 said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Psalms 96 verse 1 through 9 says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His court. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. We have much this evening to praise God about. Paul told the Philippian believers over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of the glory that we can give Him. He's worthy to honor Him in everything that we do and that we set out to do. It ought to be to glorify God and to bring honor unto Him. Psalms 103 and verse 1 to 5 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So we need, this afternoon, we need to give glory and praise to God in everything that we do. Hey, we have problems, we ought to glorify God. Hey, we ought to praise our way through situations. I've seen people praise their way through a pain that's wreaked their body. And God is a God that will hear and He'll honor those that glorify Him and give Him the glory. There's a song, Give Him the Glory. He's worthy this evening of all glory that we can give Him. Not only should we be sound in speech and be praising and glorifying His name, but also we need to be ready to suffer. I've read these stories in Baptist history, and those that suffered for the cause of Christ, those that have suffered for the Word of God and the truths of this Scripture, most of those martyrs, they suffered because they refused to baptize babies. And we still see today, God's people suffering for truth's sake all around the globe. People are suffering. People are being oppressed because of their beliefs and because of their stand, because of their convictions of the Word of God. Peter said there in verses 12 through 14, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. As Christians, according there to verse 13, hey, we should count it a privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Contrary to what a lot of people teach today, if you live a godly life and if you live for the Lord and if you stand for truth, hey, you may as well get ready to suffer. Just because you're suffering don't mean that you're not right with God sometimes. If you're standing for truth and if you're living for God and if you're applying God's will for your life and you're trying to walk in His will, sometimes you're going to suffer. I said this, Brother Edgar, I remember hearing him say, the theme of the Old Testament was prosperity. They're preaching a prosperity gospel today. That if you're right with God, that you're going to have houses and cars and different things. Reverend Ike used to say, if you're looking for pie in the sky, I'm not your man. And there's a lot of these individuals that's preaching health and wealth. And good things is going to happen to you. But God has promised us in His Word, said, if you live godly, if you live for Me, some of God's choice people in that New Testament, in the New Testament, have suffered tremendously. They lost their heads. They were crucified upside down. People are still being martyred today in some places because of their beliefs. And we take God's Word for granted so much. But be ready to suffer. I mean, God never promised us a bed of roses. Why should we consider it a privilege this evening to be a partaker of Christ's sufferings? Because He suffered for us that we might have eternal life. He went to the cross in your place. He went to the cross in my place, that we might have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. I told them this morning up at the men's fellowship there, I told them, I said, I'd rather be a Christian. If it wasn't for heaven, I'd still rather be a Christian. I woke up this morning at where I knew where I was at. I woke up in the bed with my wife, not someone else's wife. I didn't have a hangover this morning. I might have been a little sleepy, but I promise you I didn't have a hangover. And I'm not expecting to have one. But I'd still rather be a Christian with all the issues that we face, the things that we face in this life. The Christian life's the best life that I know of. If you live your life according to the Word of God, I promise you God will bless you. There may be some suffering along the way. There may be some persecutions. There may be some people who gives you a little tongue lashing every once in a while. You may have someone, if you physically take a tract and hand it to somebody, don't be surprised if they wad it up and throw it in the trash can. Don't think it's strange if you begin to witness somebody and invite them to church. Don't be surprised if they don't tell you, I don't believe in organized religion. People got some stupid ideas. And it's all because of their wicked flesh. They don't want, they're God deniers. They're anti-God. They're anti-church. They think all the church wants is their money. They think that we're out to get something when we try to witness to them. Isaiah 53 and verse 3-7 gives us a picture of the suffering that Jesus suffered. He said He is despised and rejected of men. Can I say He's still despised and rejected of men today? You know, man wants to think that they've done something to get to heaven. All these organizations that's denying the Son of God, they're out knocking doors, they're trying to work their way to heaven. Said He's despised and rejected a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. In verse 16 there, Peter tells us we have nothing to be ashamed of if we suffer as a Christian. To call someone a Christian in those days wasn't a compliment. They called them, that Bible says, they were first called Christians at Antioch. And it was a derogatory statement because they were referring to them as little Christ. They wasn't saying that to compliment them in the life that they were living. If you suffer today because you're making a true stand for Christ, don't be ashamed. Instead of being ashamed of being a Christian, we should bring glory to God by our behavior as Christians. Hey, in everything that we do, we ought to be glorifying God. In our everyday walk with Him, when we go to work, we ought to do whatever we do. The Bible says, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Give Him glory. Debbie worked with a guy one time, good guy, but he said he got tired of hearing people say, look what God done. He said, I worked hard for what I've got. Is that not what he said? Well, God give him the ability, He give him the mind to be able to put people to sleep and to watch them while they were under and monitor them so that they wouldn't go out into eternity. God has given us all the medical science that we have today. It ain't what they've done, it's what God's allowed us to have. And we ought to give Him glory. Someone said, as trees must be pruned and gold refined, grain sifted, and pearls polished, so the Lord tests and tries His children that they may develop their true potential and reflect their Maker's glory. God lets you go through things. He lets things come sometimes that it might make you a better Christian, a better person. What benefits do these things bring to our lives? They make us more like Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 9 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Ain't it amazing how we can love someone that we've not never seen? Because of what He did, the one that knew no sin, that became sin, and died on the cross that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Having not seen you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Not only do they make us more like Christ, but they teach us patience and make us grow. It teaches us patience and make us grow. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Suffering also gives to those watching us a wonderful testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what He can do. Hey, I've seen folks that was deep in sin. And God pulled them up out of a horrible pit. He saved them, put them on a new path. And people that seized their life, they just sort of just can't believe how they've changed. I've heard statements about people that used to be in sin and how God has changed their life and developing them. And then trials come and things come their way and it seems like it just makes them stronger and makes them tougher and gives them more patience. Not only are we bound, are we to be sound in speech, be praising and glorified, to be ready to suffer, but also we're to not be not ashamed. There, verse 15, 16 said, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." In essence, what he said, don't suffer for wrongdoing. Don't suffer for sin in your life. Said, yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Hey, we ought to be ashamed when we get in sin, when we get in trouble, when things come our way. It ought to make us ashamed. But when we suffer for the cause of Christ, Peter said, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The Lord gladly bore our shame for us. We should gladly bore shame for Him and not be ashamed of Him. So many times we're so ashamed and we're afraid of what people are going to think about us. When Jesus, He bore our shame to Calvary. He laid down His life. Hebrews 13, verse 13 to 14 said, "Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the count, bearing His reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Someone who says shame arises from a fear of man, courage from a fear of God. How true that is this evening. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 42 says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Here these disciples, they were doing little more than preaching Jesus. They's beaten and they counted it worthy to be able to suffer for the cause of Christ. We need to not be ashamed this evening, but we need to stand up for our Savior and the principles of the Word of God. I'm afraid sometimes we're ashamed of the principles of this Bible. This Bible is a holy book. It teaches holy principles. And yet we're so ashamed sometimes, hey, because if we're living for God and people reproach us because of our life and how we live, well, to count it worthy to be able to suffer and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 9 and verse 26 says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Not only this evening should we be sound in speech, be praising and glorified, be ready to suffer and be not ashamed, but also we need to be ready to stand before God. We need to be ready to stand before God. One of these days we're going to stand before God. We're going to give an account. 1 Peter here, verse 17, 19 said, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." There's one thing for sure, all of us are going to stand before God and give an account of ourselves to Him one of these days. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 13, verse chapter 12, verse 13 said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Did you know it's your duty and my duty to keep the commandments of God? To keep the principles that He's given in our life? Verse 14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." One day all of us are going to stand before a holy God. If you're saved, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 to 11 says, "For we must all appear." Hey, that's one appointment nobody's going to miss. The Bible said, "But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." That's a pretty sobering thought, friend, to know that we're going to have to stand before God, we're going to have to give an account of our stewardship, of how we handle the things that God has entrusted into our lives. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Knowing that God's a God of judgment. "But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." We're all going to stand before God. The lost are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. The great white throne judgment. The saved are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged for our stewardship. Those that are saved, I'm glad that Jesus judged our sin on the cross. I believe with myself, I don't believe that we'll ever have to stand and give account of our sins. They're under the blood. And all that God sees when He looks at us is the blood of His Son that covers our sin. But we will have to give an account of our stewardship, how we handled, how we dealt with the things, the light that God gave us, our stewardship, how we were that witness for the Lord, and how we conducted ourselves, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Some people are going to receive rewards, some people are going to receive nothing. It's all going to be burnt up. Their motive, I believe motive is going to be a great judgment. Why did we do the things that we do? Some of that's going to burn up. Some people might have done the right things, but they did it the wrong ways. They had a bad attitude about it. So, we see all of us one day stand before God and give an account of ourselves, and how we fare is going to depend on us. How it turns out is going to be how you've handled the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Do you know there's a lot of people that's just going to be saved by the skin of their teeth? They trusted Christ. They were saved by grace. They wasted their life as a believer. They didn't handle the things that God had entrusted in them. They weren't the witness that they should have been. And they're just going to be saved, though it's by fire. They're just barely going to make it in. They're going to suffer a loss. It's going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. A lot of people, if they've done the things that they've done for the wrong reason, their works are still going to burn up. We've got to check our motive. We've got to check why are we doing the thing. We've got to check our reason for coming to the house of God. I think it's good for us to come to the house of God. And the Bible does say, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. It says, upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside as the Lord hath prospered him. I believe it's right this evening to go to the house of God. I believe if we have Sunday evening church, we ought to go to the house of God. If we have revival meeting through a week service and set aside for that assembly to come and get something for God, I believe that we ought to be faithful. I believe we'll give an account for every message we've ever heard. I believe we'll give an account for messages that we should. That we was out doing something fulfilling the flesh. Peter gives us two things to keep in mind, seeing we must appear before God. Number one, we must seek to lead the lost to the Lord. Verse 17 and 18, it says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, God's left us here, and we keep saying that over and over. He's left us here to be His ambassador, to be His representative. He's left us here to be His witness. And I wonder how much we're practicing soul winning in our lives. Contrary to what people think, soul winning is not a bad word. Now, we know that only God can save. All you and I are seed sowers and water boys. And we must seek to lead people, the lost, to the Lord on a regular basis. I believe we need to look for the opportunities that God places before us. And I've seen some opportunities that I missed before in my life. That the opportunity, the door was open and I didn't walk in that door. I believe we ought to know enough Scripture, and it's sad, hey, that people are not committing Scripture to memory. You ought to know enough Scripture to lead someone to the Lord, even if you didn't have your Bible with you or a New Testament in your pocket or a tract in your pocket. Hey, you ought to know enough of the Word of God, if you've been saved for any length of time, to tell and show someone how to be saved. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with their heart. We know that the Word of God is quick, it's sharp, it's powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul, the spirit, and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Did you know God knows your thoughts this evening? He knows exactly what you think when the preacher is up preaching. He knows what's going through your mind. He knows the rebellion that you may be holding in your heart against Him. See, God's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's here this evening. He's searching hearts this evening, and He knows where we're at, and He knows our attitude toward the Word of God. And soul winning is a principle that God's given us, and I believe that He uses you and I to get the gospel to individuals. A lot of people are worried about pulling people green. We ought to be worried about not pulling people at all. We ought to be worried about not looking for the opportunity. We say we're not Calvinists, but in a lot of ways we embrace Calvinism. Every day when we refuse to tell men, women, boys, and girls about Jesus, the Holy Ghost we know has to deal with the heart, and the Bible says no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And that word draw in the Greek is a strong Greek word that means to pull with force. Hey, I remember being under conviction. I remember God dealing with my heart. I could got saved a lot of times. The Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart, and I refused and I rejected. And no doubt you can think of times in your life. We must. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? We must seek to lead people that are lost to the Lord. Hell's going to be a terrible time. Hell's going to be a place of outer darkness. I believe hell's going to be a place of continual falling. It's going to be a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be a place where the worm dieth not and the thirst is not quenched. You know how it feels when you get thirsty? Now, Todd don't know. He's been drinking plenty of water. He's forgot what it's like to be thirsty. But have you ever just been so thirsty and you didn't have no water? I've told this story a lot of times. Me and my cousin was down here in Telford County one time turkey hunting in the spring, and it was getting toward the end of the season. It was hot, and we were hunting up this creek. We'd been out a long time. We didn't have no water. And I got so thirsty. And them creeks in middle Georgia, they're not the cleanest looking creeks in the world. And I got down and I got me a drink of that water. I was so thirsty. Wonder I hadn't got something. I didn't realize the impurities that's in water. But I got so thirsty, I was willing to drink that water. And that rich man is in hell. He's been crying all these years and he's still thirsty tonight. Since the time when Luke 16 was pinned down. And my friend, hell's going to be for eternity. The Bible talks about death and hell being cast into the lake of fire. People say God won't send no one to hell. Said you send yourself. But the Bible says that God's going to cast them into the lake of fire. It's because they rejected Him, the opportunities that was given. But are we fulfilling the opportunity that we have to give the gospel to them, to witness to people? We must seek to lead the lost to the Lord. And then we must commit ourselves to God. There in verse 19 said, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Have you really committed yourself to God, your soul, your life, your body? Man's made it, he's a trichotomy. He's body, soul, and spirit. You can't separate it. The Bible says you're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God in what you do. Glorify God in your soul winning. Glorify God in your ministry. Glorify God in your speech, in your communication with people that you come into contact with. Have you committed your life to Jesus? If you haven't, we ought to commit every area of our life. We ought to commit our children. We ought to commit our grandchildren to Him. But first of all, we ought to commit ourselves to the Lord. How long is the rest of our time? Nobody knows but God. But we can't waste it. We need to make the best use of every opportunity this evening to serve Him. And I believe we've got a great opportunity. We just need to commit our lives to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I've never seen such evil times. When I was a boy, there was a lot of evil things going on. When I was a boy, people wasn't so open with their drinking and all this stuff. Every once in a while, you see somebody out public drunk. Most of the time, hey, them old-timers, they'd go over yonder somewhere. They'd go to somebody's pump house. They'd go to some back road over in on a place called Torah Hill. They get in them pine thickets. They get drunk. They stay there around there all weekend. They'd hide. They'd get out. We used to walk the dirt roads over to my grandpa's before they paved all the roads, and we'd hear a car coming. We'd run in the woods and hide because we thought it might be somebody that was drunk, because that's where they was usually at, out on the dirt roads and the back roads. They wasn't so open with things. We're living in evil days. You never know when you leave the house. You never know when you go pump your gas who's going to come up. And you experience this killing. It happened just a few miles over here. The other Sunday evening, I believe it was. And I think some of our kids maybe went to school with, knew some of the people that was there. Is that right? You never know. Man sitting in the CVS parking lot. Man comes up, robs him, kills him. You never know. Daddy was setting up at CVS one time and he'd had his knee surgery, I think, went by to get his medicine. Mother went in to get the medicine, and this black lady come up and told him that she needed $10 to fill her prescription. She didn't have the money. And my daddy gave her a Ben Franklin and told her to go in and get some change. Well, the last time he seen her, she was going around the corner of the CVS, and he ain't seen her nor the $100 bill since. That's where we're at. Evil men wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. She even gave him her address and phone number, I think, told him she would pay him that $10. She'd send it to him or something. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Hey, I ain't giving nobody. I wouldn't hardly give them $100 bill if I knew them. You don't know what they'll do. But let us, by the grace of God, do all we can for His glory. Let us be willing to suffer, to serve, to share, and to speak out for Him this evening. If we don't tell them, who will? Lord, we thank You again for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. Lord, and we realize, Lord, that You could come tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'll be living by these 10 things that we've mentioned today, Lord, in light of the coming of Christ. Lord, that we would search our hearts this evening and see where we're at. Lord, I pray if we have a rebellious and stubborn heart, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to lay it on the altar. Lord, we realize You can't use vessels that are not empty of ourselves. We realize You can't use people that are rebellious and stubborn. God, I pray that You'd help us this evening, Lord, that we would live our lives like we're really looking for You to come. Because we know that it could be today. We know that we could be driving along 985 this evening, Lord, and You could return. You could say, come up hither. And Lord, we're going home to be with You. But Lord, we realize the seriousness of that return, that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. We're going to give an account of every deed, whether it be good or bad. Lord, help us to be yielded to You. Help us to be looking for You and living like we're expecting You to come at any moment. We love You. Have Your way as we go our separate ways tonight. Thank You again for each one that's come. In Jesus' name, amen. You're at liberty to go.